Going to start in Psalm 113, but this is much more of a topical message, very unusually for me. Normally do a single passage and look at that, but I wanted to look at a theme this afternoon, appreciating God's glory. We're living in times of change, in case you hadn't noticed. We changed Prime Minister this week. Our government has changed. The whole world is going through rapid change, and that's very unsettling for many people. Lots of people are troubled about the pace of change and the amount of instability that there is in the world. The international scene, the way things are in this country, the financial pressures and so on. So much change, so much pressure. We're all growing older at the same rate. None of us is staying the same. Some of us are growing up and growing bigger, getting stronger. Most of us are going the other direction. But we're all growing older at the same rate. All of us are changing, but God remains the same. Today, I want to lift our thoughts to him, to help us to appreciate God. I wonder how you're feeling today in your own heart, in your own personal life. Are you someone who's bogged down, who's burdened, who's feeling under pressure perhaps, unsettled, anxious, sad? Or maybe it's the opposite for you. You're excited about the future. You're full of expectation. You're looking forward to good things. Well, whatever our situation in life, it's good for us to take our eyes off ourselves and our circumstances for a few moments and to appreciate God. We all need to do that, don't we? Each day, to take our eyes off ourselves and to look to God. Because if we look at ourselves, we're going to go down very often, aren't we? We need to look away from ourselves to God. We need to appreciate him, to appreciate Jesus Christ, our Saviour. God, of course, is very big. He is bigger than we can imagine. God is too big to be described by any one word. There's so many names for God, aren't there, in the Bible? Today, I want us to focus on one important Bible word concerning God. And it's this word, glory. Glory. Our thoughts about God are too small. My thoughts about God are too small. All of us need to grow in appreciating God's glory. Appreciating God's glory will change our lives for the better. It will help us to enjoy God and to live for him, whatever our circumstances, whether that's as individuals, yes, it's true of us as individuals, as families, and as a church, to appreciate God's glory. It will change us for the better. It will help us to live for him. Appreciating God's glory. Well, what is glory? The Oxford English Dictionary talks about it being high renown, or honour, or magnificence, or great beauty. The Bible uses the words that are translated glory in the Hebrew and Greek in that kind of way too. Glory, honour, splendour, the Bible talks about beauty of the Lord too. And the Bible, it does talk about glory of other things too, but above all, the Bible speaks of God's glory. So my first heading is simply this: God's glory. What does the Bible teach us about God's glory? And if you do a word search on your computer or on your Bible app, then glory, it comes up many, many times, and it's a helpful thing to go through and to look through the Bible. What does the Bible have to say about glory, about God's glory? And of course, it's far too big a theme for us to exhaust or even cover anywhere, even half of it in one message. So just a few things, picked out about God's glory from what the Bible teaches us. And the first of those things is this. God's glory is unique. It's unique. There's nothing else, there's no one else that comes close to having the glory that God does. Psalm 113, we read earlier, the writer calls on God's people to praise the Lord at all times and in all places, from this time forth and forevermore, from the rising of the sun to its going down, from east to west, throughout the world, the Lord's name is to be praised. Why? Well, verses 4 to 6. The Lord is high above all nations, his glory above the heavens. Who is like the Lord our God, who dwells on high, who humbles himself to behold the things that are in the heavens and in the earth? God is so great, it's as if he has to stoop down even to look at the heavens and the earth. Well, have any of you ever looked at an ant through a magnifying glass? It's quite a difficult thing to do because ants run around a lot, don't they? But have you ever looked at an ant through a magnifying glass and you make the ant look bigger than it does normally? The ant is so much smaller than you. You have to bend down closely to the ground to look at it. You can easily squash it with your thumb. And yet, how small we are as people compare with the size of the earth. Even this country's a big place, isn't it? The whole world, well, it's enormous compared to us. And the universe outside, the heavens, the stars and so on, the galaxies, they're unimaginably big. You just cannot understand how big they are. They're so big. But God has to bend down to look at the heavens, to stoop down. He humbles himself to behold the things that are in the heavens, the universe, the sky, the stars, and in the earth. We are closer to an ant in size than the whole universe is to God. We are so small, but our God is so big. And yet, this great God cares about all that he has made. He even takes an interest in us little people. What can compare with having this God as our friend, our provider, and our protector? God is so great, we are so small, and yet he cares about us. Well, we hear a lot of boasting, don't we, in the world? Proud boasting from rulers and leaders and all kinds of other people, famous people, celebrities and so on, thinking of themselves, footballers, and whatever it might be. We need to remember this when we see people hear pride on display and we perhaps proud ourselves. We need to remember the Lord is high above all nations. His glory is above the heavens. There is no one like God. God is who he is. He is like no other. God has a personal glory that he shares with no one else. Isaiah 42, verse 8, I'm going to be referring to numerous passages of scripture. Don't expect you to turn them all up. If you've got jotting things down, you could note down the references. But at Isaiah 42, verse 8, God says, I am the Lord. That is my name. And my glory I will not give to another. So God's glory is unique. What else does the Bible teach us about God's glory? Well, it teaches us that God's glory is in all he is. God's glory is in all he is. The Lord is high above all nations, his glory above the heavens. The Lord, that's Yahweh, God's personal name. The Lord is high and his glory is high too. His glory is above the heavens. And so God's name and God's glory are side by side there in that psalm. Take Psalm 8, verse 1. O Lord, Yahweh, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth, who have set your glory above the heavens. How excellent is your name in all the earth, who have set your glory above the heavens. What is God's name? Well, it's his character, isn't it? It's all that he is revealed in the scriptures. And God's glory here in the psalm, many times in scripture, it runs parallel to his name. It's helpful with the psalms to look for parallels. And there's a parallel there between God's name and his glory. God's whole being is one of glory. Every aspect of who God is glorious. It's magnificent. It's splendid. It's outstanding. It's amazing. It's awe-inspiring. It's far above and beyond anything in all creation. God is glorious in his holiness, in his love, in his justice, in his goodness. God's glory is his own distinctive nature. It's his inherent beauty of character and being. There is no one greater than God. God is majestic in glory. He's worthy of all the respect and admiration and worship of everything that he has made, including us. So God's glory is unique. His glory is in all he is. And more particularly than that about God's glory, God's glory is in all three persons of the Trinity equally. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The Bible tells us that God is one, Deuteronomy 6, verse 4. The Lord our God, the Lord is one. And yet God is also three. Something we can never fully understand. God is too glorious for our small minds. But God's glory belongs equally to the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The Father has this glory. Ephesians 1:17, Paul prays to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory. The Son has this glory. John 1 verse 14, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The Holy Spirit has this glory. Peter writes to persecuted Christians in 1 Peter 4 verse 14, he says, if you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. How great God is. What a privilege it is to know this God. Do you know this God? Have you trusted in the Lord Jesus? Have you accepted him as your Saviour? Have you submitted to him as your Lord? Have you responded to that invitation that we heard this morning to come to him in faith, to receive that rest that only he can give? The Lord is high above all nations, his glory above the heavens. God's glory is unique. It's in all that he is. It belongs equally to the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Many people despise God and ignore God today, but no matter what people think, these things and many more besides are true. And God's glory shines as brightly as ever. So those are some things about God's glory that the Bible teaches us. Now I want to move on to think about this. Seeing God's glory. Seeing God's glory. What's it like to see God's glory? Can we see God's glory? Well, yes, the Bible says we can, but only what God chooses to show us of his glory, not the whole of it. God is too big for us to see all of his glory. Now, God's glory in the Bible is sometimes a display, was sometimes in the Old Testament especially, a visible display of God's presence with his people. Just one example, Exodus 24, verse 16, that says this, Now the glory of the Lord rested on Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it 6 days. And on the seventh day he called to Moses out of the midst of the cloud. The sight of the glory of the Lord was like a consuming fire on the top of the mountain in the eyes of the children of Israel. So there they were with Moses in the wilderness by Mount Sinai, and the glory of the Lord rested on the mountain, and it was looked like a consuming fire, a burning fire on top of the mountain. And God's voice called to Moses from the midst of the cloud that was hiding things on top of the mountain too. So seeing even a tiny bit of God's glory then, and hearing God's glorious voice, it was terrifying for the children of Israel. Even when it was only a very tiny bit of God's glory, it was mostly hidden by the cloud. Well, looking at the sun is dangerous. Don't try looking directly at the sun, even when there's an eclipse. It's still dangerous, isn't it, to look at the sun? It's too bright for our eyes to take. We would go blind if we looked for very long at the sun. And if you try to go near the sun in a spacecraft, well, first you would be cooked and then you'd be vaporized. The sun is immensely hot and powerful and bright, glorious. Well, we can't take a full-on display of God's glory. It's so great, he's so great, that that would destroy us. Why would it destroy us? Well, it's because we are sinners and God is holy. Where does the Bible teach us that we see God's glory today? We do see it, we can see it. We see it firstly in the things that God has made. Psalm 19, verse 1, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above, the expanse, proclaims his handiwork. Look at the stars on a bright night. We're going camping in a couple of weeks' time, and looking forward to seeing the sky at night, the stars, assuming it's clear. And when you go out into the countryside at night and look at the stars, they're amazing, aren't they? So big, so beautiful, and mind-blowing. But God is infinitely bigger and more beautiful and more mind-blowing than those stars that he put in place. Think about the beauty of flowers. Think about the variety of food, so many different kinds of food. God hasn't given us a set of vitamin tablets to eat. He's given us all kinds of food to enjoy, and we can enjoy food from all over the world now and appreciate the sheer variety that God has put in the world. So many kind gifts that God has given to us to show us the glory of his character. Some amazing technology in the world today. But what God has made is far more amazing. The growth of a baby in the womb, new life coming into the world. You know, the greatest human technology that's ever been invented or will be invented can't even come close to the wonderful design of the human body. We can only invent things and make music and sing and cook beautiful food and paint beautiful pictures because God gave us that ability. It's because God made us in his image, a tiny reflection of his own nature. So the things that God has made, the gifts that he's given to us, should help us and make us appreciate him and worship him. Don't you want to know this amazing God? If you do already know him, well, don't you want to know him more? I do, not strongly enough. Often other things distract me from getting to know God better. And yet this is our desire as Christians, isn't it? To know God more. There's nothing more wonderful than to be near to God, to appreciate him, to wonder and to worship him in all his glory. And yet, we have a problem, don't we? We're sinful. We'd rather do anything else often than read our Bibles, pray, so many things are more attractive to us in that moment. We're sinners. We've rebelled against the great God of glory. How can we see God's glory? How can we come near to God, the holy and glorious God? Well, praise God. We don't just see God's glory in creation. That wouldn't solve our sin problem, would it? Can't do. But we praise him that we also see God's glory through his Son, Jesus Christ. Not just in creation, but in the Lord Jesus. The God of glory humbled himself, not just to look at the things on earth, to look at the things in the heavens, as it says in Psalm 113, but he humbled himself by entering this world when God the Son took on human flesh. God, Jesus, shows us God's glory perfectly. Colossians 1:15. He is the image of the invisible God. We see what a person is like by the things that they enjoy doing, don't we? We see so-and-so likes playing music, so-and-so likes singing, I like riding my bike, I like going for walks in the countryside, and so on. We see something of someone's character by the things that they do. Well, we see God's glory by the things that he does. Yes, in creation, but even more wonderfully in salvation through the Lord Jesus. God taking on human flesh, coming as that tiny baby. The Lord Jesus living as a perfect man in a world full of sinners. Speaking God's truth, doing miracles to show his glory. Dying on the cross to pay for our sins. Rising from the dead, ascending back into the glory of heaven. Nothing, not even creation, displays God's glory more powerfully than his work of salvation. And that's why Paul calls the good news of Jesus the glorious gospel. Glorious gospel, 1 Timothy 1 verse 11. Do you enjoy seeing powerful things? I do. Some people I know like seeing steam engines. There's a visible display of power, isn't there, in a steam engine puffing and all that steam coming out. Perhaps a mighty waterfall crashing down from a high, rocky place. The waves of the sea crashing on the shore. The awesome power of a thunderstorm. Last month, SpaceX successfully launched the most powerful rocket ever built into space. And they brought it back down too, successfully. Starship is over 120 meters high, nearly 400 feet tall. It weighs 5,000 tons. What a spectacular sight when that rocket lifted off. What immense power on display. Well, there's no greater power on display anywhere than in the good news of Jesus Christ. The gospel is, as Paul says in Romans 1 verse 16, it's the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. It takes the infinite power of God to save a single sinner, to save me or to save you. And God is saving countless millions of sinners all over the world through Jesus Christ. There is no one beyond the reach of his power. You're not beyond the reach of his power. No one can say, God can't save me. People do feel that way before they've experienced God's forgiveness. God couldn't save me. I'm too bad. Some people feel like that, but no one is beyond his power to save. That gives us hope as we witness to our families, doesn't it? And to our colleagues at work or in the open air. God can save anybody. Power to bring dead people to life, to reconcile God with his enemies, to bring sinners near to a holy God, so that we can now appreciate God's glory without being terrified by it. This is amazing power, life-transforming power. It's not usually something that's noisy and spectacular, but it's quiet and effective. Changing our lives from the inside out. Setting us free from our old habits, our old ways, from slavery to sin, to live to God's glory. Taking harsh people and making us more gentle and kind. Teaching us to love our enemies, to do good to those who hurt us. Nothing else has this power. It can't be faked. It can't be bought. Only God has this power, the power of God for salvation, His glory on display. The glory of the gospel is God's love shown to His enemies, taking things that are ugly, us, and making them beautiful. Have you believed this good news of Jesus Christ? Have you taken this message for yourself? Have you taken this Saviour for yourself? Today, again, He invites you to turn to Him, to come to Him, to believe on Him and receive this salvation, that His power, that His glory would be at work in your life. So we thought about God's glory, some basic truths about God's glory. We thought about seeing God's glory in creation and in the Lord Jesus. Well, now let's finally think about this briefly. God's glory in us. God's glory in us. It's a wonderful thing. If you believe in Jesus to save you from your sins, then God shares His own glory with you. What does the Bible say about God's glory in us? Well, it teaches us that God's glory in us is the glory of a new creation. When God created the world, He said, "Let there be light." Remember that in Genesis chapter 1, "Let there be light," and there was light. And now He has made us who believe in Jesus the beginning of a new creation. 2 Corinthians 4 verse 6, Paul says this, "For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who said, 'Let there be light,' who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." A bit further on in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 17, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." Adam and Eve, in the beginning, were made in God's image. God's image in us was spoiled by sin. But now, through what Jesus has done, we have been made again, made afresh, born again in the image of Jesus, the perfect man. So, God's glory in us is the glory of a new creation. And God's glory in us is growing day by day. That's a striking thing to realize, that God's glory in us is growing day by day. 2 Corinthians again, 2 Corinthians 3 verse 13. "But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord." Or back to the sky at night. The moon, where does the light of the moon come from? Well, not from itself, does it? The light of the moon actually comes from the sun. It reflects the light of the sun and shines it on the earth. That's like it is with us as Christians. It's not our own glory. We're not in the world to display our own glory, but God's glory. The glory that we have is God's glory reflected in us. And the Holy Spirit is helping us to grow more and more in displaying God's glory. Paul says in Colossians 3 verse 10 that we have put on the new man who is being renewed in knowledge according to the image of Him who created him. We're a new creation in Christ and we're being renewed day by day. Proverbs 4 verse 18, quoting the ESV here, Proverbs 4, verse 18, it says that the path of the righteous is like the light of dawn, which shines brighter and brighter until full day. Do you know an older Christian? Perhaps you're a younger person, or been middle-aged, and you know an older Christian. Can you see something of the glory of God in that older Christian, in him or her? There's something of the beauty of Christ about that person. Although they're not perfect, sometimes you might notice a few failings and so on. But there's a beauty, isn't there? There's a beauty, the glory of God in an older Christian shining through, that God has changed them over time and made them more like Christ. There's a lot for us to learn, isn't there? Us who are younger in the faith than certain others, from their example and from their words. So God's glory is in us is growing from day to day. Finally, God's glory in us will be perfected. When Jesus comes again, it's the final step in his glorious work to save us. It's when he comes again in all his glory with the holy angels, his glory on full display, not hidden away, just becoming and looking like an ordinary man in the street with no visible glory. No, his glory on full display. Colossians 3, verse 4, Paul says, when Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. 1 John 3, verse 2, we know that when Christ is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Then we will be fully like him when we see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. This is our great hope. This is our certain hope as Christians. This is what motivates us, should motivate us to live for God now. It's what comforts us in all our struggles, that one day God's glory in us will be perfected. We will see God face to face. We'll see our Lord and Savior face to face. No need for cloud to hide his glory anymore. We will see it, and we will be able to bear the full light of God's glory, because we'll have been changed to be like Christ in his perfect, glorified body. This is what comforts us in our struggles here and now. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 16, Paul says, therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man, our outward body and so on is perishing, decaying and so on, yet the inward man, that spiritual inner person, is being renewed from day by day. That new creation is growing in us. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. What was once hidden has now been shown to us. God, in Colossians 1, verse 27, God has willed to make known to us what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Oh, what glorious things God has done, what glorious things he is doing, and what glorious things God will do. What glory there is to come for us. Sometimes we get down, don't we, about the state of our society, perhaps, or things going on in the world, or about our own lives. Well, we need to remember to appreciate God's glory. You know, the Old Testament prophets, they too, many of them lived in darkening times, and yet God gave them a glimpse of the glory to come. Habakkuk 2, verse 14, talks about a time in the future. It says, for the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Now, the waters cover the sea how much? Well, they cover it completely, don't they? So he's looking forward to a time in the Holy Spirit, through the Holy Spirit, when the knowledge of the glory of the Lord will cover the whole earth. So we should appreciate God's glory. These things call for worship from us. There's so much of that in the Bible, especially in the Psalms. God's glory calls for us to worship. Psalm 96, give to the Lord, O families of the peoples, give to the Lord glory and strength. In other words, worship him for the glory that is his. Give to the Lord the glory due his name. Well, let's do that as we sing our final hymn together. Glory be to God the Father. To him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Amen.